what's happening, what's going on in Sharkland. This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. The other day I came across yet another shark repellent. I wonder when these quote-unquote inventors run out of ideas. No worries, I won't run down this gadget and explain its flaw, but I'd like to talk a bit about these inventors or charlatans. Take your pick. And why their thinking process is actually flawed. Don't get me wrong, I applaud for every incident that does not happen, but none of these gimmicks actually can prevent an incident, with the exception of the POD. But that thing has some other problems. But my main question is, why do we seem to have the need of repelling sharks? Most of the time we do not even see them. They're close, but, you know, even when you're surrounded by a shark, the guy behind you, you most likely don't even see. So, and these sharks have to come very, very close before any potential influence of a repellent can take effect. Of course, none of these ideas have ever been put to the test, although some websites claim that has been scientifically tested. It's a lie. It's a bold lie. When you look at these websites, it's like, oh my God. And as a scientist myself, who creates experiments for a living with sharks, mind you, I can tell you that these people behind these websites know exactly that their so-called tests and experiments are bogus. They just use these two words to make it sound legit. Of course, some of these websites are beautifully done, and it's so convincing. And you really have to know your stuff in order to see that these guys are lying. But I tell you, these people are lying. And there is really, really something wrong with how they claim that their gadgets work. It does. They do not work. Of course, if you assume that you can test the gadget in an aquarium and believe that what you see there, it's the same thing when trying in the open water with a species of a known record, then shame on them. And they don't even know the basics of sharks and the influence of the environment. So how can an inventor that has no clue about sharks think that what he creates will have an effect? I mean, that doesn't work. Well, not too long ago, a surfer got bitten over in Florida again and told the media that he was wearing one of these stupid ankle bracelets that work with magnets. I won't tell you the name because I do not want to give him more traffic. Yeah, I said that before because, yeah, we spoke about that briefly before. So, this incident showed that this thing doesn't work. Wouldn't that be the reason enough to take this gadget off the market? Because it doesn't work? Well, of course not. Because, well, there's local news when this kid said, well, you know, I was wearing the bracelet. So this company knows that, well, it's local news, so most people don't even hear about that incident that he was wearing that. So they keep selling their bracelets, knowing that it won't work. How about that? That's fraud, right? This reminds me of the old travelers in the Wild West selling their potions that work for this or that. It's pretty much the same thing. What they say, that it's not true and it won't work. Don't get me wrong, if a gadget would exist that makes sharks stay further away without harming them in any way, I would be a proponent because this would then end most incidents, assuming that everybody would carry it. But our world does not work that way, and neither do the sharks. Remember when we just talked about episode 75 that the very shark does not exist? Well, that does not just go for the species, but as well as the individuals. There are no two sharks alike. So you may have one shark that is curious by an average, and his body is more shy than average. But even if a shark who is more curious, nothing says that curiosity also means being bold. And that the shark will really come close. Only in very, very rare situations a shark really comes close and then happens to bite. But it's important to understand why a shark would bite. Not always it's curiosity. So anyway, so let's assume for a second that one of these gadgets would work. I mean, the shark is curious, shark comes closer, and then he gets a jolt of electricity or whatever gadget, whatever it says, it will work. So what would happen? The shark gets closer and picks up something that affects some of its sensory organs, right? All of these gadgets claim to affect sensory organs in one way or the other. So the shark is affected and backs off. What would happen? Ideally, we would hope that the shark learned its lesson and stays away from the person. So with other words, yeah, if it gets in contact with a magnet, oh man, that's not right. And he learns, I will never get close to that person again. So does it mean just that person or all the people he can get in contact with? Yeah, definitely not. So sharks are not these slow thinkers people often make them out to be. So they may learn something, but does that really mean so that's it? These inventors assume that once a shark feels something that bothers it, they will withdraw. Mind you, a shark hears something, creates a search image, gets closer, and then realizes, wait, the search image does not match what it thought it must be. So there's an unfamiliar object. So, and this unfamiliar object may create an electricity field. Well, it can happen that the shark will not dare to come closer, but its curiosity is triggered. So there is something the shark doesn't know. It does not match the search image to begin with. So there is curiosity, and chances are, I would say larger likelihood, that it won't end. And the shark is even more curious because something affected just his sensory organ that the shark cannot put together. Curiosity. The problem with these gadgets is that it is assumed what has to happen without including a shark's potential thinking process. I'm pretty sure these inventors have no clue how to deal with a search image, how to deal with curiosity. But these are very important things when a shark gets closer. Granted, we have not really a clue at this point how a shark really thinks. And I won't go into that now. I plan to do an episode, one of the few next episodes on that. But the assumption remains that the people believe that one ping of whatever the shark picks up will change its thinking process. If you ask me, that is a very dangerous ground for an assumption when it comes to sharks. Assuming that a mind changes, or differently put, that the intention shifts because of one ping or electricity jolt or whatever, is more than a slippery slope. Even more so, none of these gadget inventors has a background in shark behavior, and even less in applied shark behavior. So how can one have the arrogance to throw an idiotic idea on the market and try to sell this brain fart that due to this or that, a shark will change his mind when in contact with a human being? That is just unbelievable. Wouldn't you assume that these inventors work with scientists? I mean, I'm not saying biologists, but behaviorists, people who have studied the sharks in the water, act, react with sharks that are focusing on shark-human interaction, applied shark-human interaction. Wouldn't you think that this is the way to go? Right? Anyway, it beats me. Besides, I mean, most of the time, all these people want to do is make money with a gimmick. The good thing is that most individual sharks of any species are very cautious when getting closer to a person. But these gadgets are designed, well, that's not really the right word, designed, quote-unquote designed, have an effect against not the regular shark of the male that is shy, hesitant, cautious, but supposedly the one who is bold, curious, and rather open-minded of reducing boundaries. You see what I mean? It's not the general shark that must be targeted if these so-called inventors try to find a target group, but the stubborn and bold shark. Let's go out there, use these gadgets, create a scenario that's potentially dangerous, and then see what these gadgets truly are worth. Well, I guarantee you none of these inventors or these groups who sell these gadgets would actually go for it, but that would be putting it to the test. So if you ever worked with some of these buggers out there, then you know that these magnets, visual effects, or whatever you throw at them will not make them to leave. And again, if you have to work with a stubborn one. Anyway, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And remember, if you meet a shark out there, enjoy the moment. And remember, it is a privilege to be among them.